Well, I have a wonderful electronic invention I want you to see. It looks something like this.
Hey, what's up, Curiosity Builders? I'm Chris Martin, and you're listening to Getting Work to Work, a weekly podcast for creative entrepreneurs and leaders looking to grow, not only by learning new things, but by connecting their work to big ideas and overcoming the barriers that prevent them from doing the work they were born to do. Why do I create the things I do? From actually making podcasts, newsletters, and short films to dreaming of creating online courses, films, and products that help creative people get their work to work, I sometimes get trapped in research, validation, and permission. Understanding your motivation and your why is an important part of the creative journey, and in this episode of Getting Work to Work, I'm going to explore the reasons for why I create and what trips me up. Show notes and links for this episode can be found at gwtw.co/261. Why do I create the things I do? Why do you create the things you do? This is a question I've been thinking a lot about recently as I continue to not only produce podcasts, newsletters, and videos, but as I spend time dreaming of the things that I want to make that I haven't gotten around to yet, I find that when I'm not clear on the answer to that question, I get trapped in what other people think I should do. I've been trying to get an online course off the ground recently, but I got trapped in a cycle of research, validation, and permission. I don't want to say that it's not necessary, but the more I engaged in a process that I wasn't used to, the more I was realizing that I was neglecting my strengths in the first place. And the strengths were the reasons why I create and the process that I generally go through when I create new things. Again, I don't want to say that there isn't a place for research and validating ideas, but I've never been one to put that at the start of the process. That might seem counterintuitive to some people, but for me, I don't really know what I'm doing until I get my hands dirty, my brain active, and the process started. So why do I create? Why do you create? The answers for you are going to be a lot different for me, but as I start to think about this question, I create to think. I love the adage, I write so that I can learn what I think about something. There's something intimate about that statement. I write to learn so that I know what I think about something. I don't necessarily need to go figure out what other people think about something so that I can then know what I think about something. There's this idea that contrasting ideas or comparison ideas will reveal what you think. But sometimes you just have to wrestle with your own thoughts, understanding what you think about something, and that's a place of vulnerability at times. Whether I'm preparing for a class that I've taught many times or I'm diving into an outline for this podcast, I'm really thinking about things. I'm thinking about topics. I'm thinking about potential discussion points, pushback ideas, things that might enrage people or get them talking or shut them down. And there's very much a sense of improvisation when I'm in those moments because I don't necessarily know what I think yet. And that doesn't mean that I want to be an expert. It just means that I need to create so that I can start to understand what's going on in my brain. So then as I put something in front of someone, they can have a reaction to it, then a conversation, then adjustment if necessary. I also create to know what I know and what I don't know. In Brené Brown's book, Dare to Lead, she talks about this idea of the gap of knowledge, and she's presenting some research done by George Lowenstein about the psychology, I think, of curiosity, and how oftentimes we approach curiosity by asking more questions, but he talks about this idea of this gap of knowledge, that we don't really know what's in that gap. We're ignorant. We just don't know. And so we need to prime the pump. We need to get that idea elevated so then we can start getting curious. So we need to start from a place of just getting our mind going. And one of the ways that I love doing this is by interviewing people. When I interview people, I'm often approaching it from a place of not really knowing everything. But I've learned that when a guest has a website or a body of work that I can pull from, I can get curious a lot easier than when I don't really have a place to start from. In documentary worlds, that is known then as a process of pre-interviewing. So if they don't have something where you can research, you pre-interview so that you can kind of prime the pump and get some valuable questions to really dive in. I love working with people who know a lot because it oftentimes illuminates what I don't know. The older I get, the more I realize that I don't know a lot, and I'm okay being ignorant and being uneducated about things because it allows me to learn to ask stupid questions, quote unquote, that might reveal my ignorance because that's the only way sometimes to learn. I want to be in positions of tension, awkwardness, and ignorance because then and only then I realize what I know and don't know, and it allows me to shape what comes next. I create to start. The blank canvas, the blank page, the blank anything is daunting. It can shut creative people down because when you are presented with the pristine setting of nothingness, it can be scary to make the first mark, the first action, because you start to doubt whether it's good enough or not. And so just make the awkward first action. Creating to start means that where you end up is probably not going to be anywhere near where you thought you would. But you would never know if you didn't start. And a lot of people, including myself, struggle to start for fear of what someone else might think, might say, or they might not buy it, they might not accept it, they might reject it. All of these things keep us from starting. As I mentioned, getting this online course off the ground, I'm not creating right now because I'm afraid to start. I'm afraid that my ideas aren't good enough, that they aren't validated, that people won't buy. But as I was talking to a colleague, a friend, yesterday, he asked me what my goal of the online course was. And at first, I don't know if I necessarily had a goal. But as I was talking, I said, you know, my goal is to make an online course and to sell at least one person on it. That was it. It wasn't to supplement my income. It wasn't to replace my income. It wasn't to become the all-knowing being of online education. It was to simply make one and sell one. That's a very humble goal. But as I wrap my mind around that, that helps me to start a lot better than I need to make the perfect course. I create to learn. The process of learning is in a state of confusion right now. Do we learn to make money? Do we learn to make a job? Do we learn to master our skills? Do we learn to get better? In the book Company of One by Paul Jarvis, he talks a lot about the company of one doesn't get better by adding more, but gets better by living in a state of enough. By defining what is enough, we can then grow the process of getting better in different ways, in sustainable ways. And I love this definition of learning. As I learn, I get efficient, I maximize what I have, and I illuminate where I need to grow next. And learning is a process. Learning is something that, yes, you can hack it and you can get better quicker, but at the same time, I have a lifetime to learn. And if I continue to learn to illuminate where I need to grow next, this creates some enjoyable process that is sustainable. I keep coming back to this idea of sustainable learning. And sustainable learning for a lifetime learner is something that is valuable, it's goal-driven, but it's also fun. I create also to build momentum. I started teaching a course this week called Professional Practices, and I found myself making hand gestures for loops. The creative process is a loop. You repeat the process over time, over and over and over again. And for me, this idea of creativity as a process is creativity as a system. You have inputs, these inputs go into a system, and it creates an output. And the only way to improve the system is to then evaluate the outcome of the input through the process. And this process of repetition over time is what allows us to master our crafts and become experts and to become better at what we do. And momentum is critical to this process, because if you never repeat the process again, you're ultimately never going to learn and improve upon what you've done. You'll only stay in your mind on how great you are or how horrible you are. So when you are able to build momentum, you're able to then do things in an order that allows you to question that order and realize that sometimes creativity is messy, and that's okay. One of the things that I realized about momentum is that sometimes doing things in the wrong order can mess up your creative momentum. That doesn't mean that you shouldn't question the system that you create, but there are times when you need to embrace the order in which brings out your strengths or maximizes your weaknesses. I'm okay jumping into a project based upon assumptions, because I know that through my process, those assumptions get challenged, they get shaped, and they get molded into something new through the creative process. And the system then results in feedback, and then I send that feedback back into the process. And that is something that I've learned as I've done my creative work over 20 years of doing it. And that system is going to change over time, and that's okay, because that is building momentum. The final thing of why I create is to live. This is a new one for me, because for a lot of times, work has really defined my life. I work to work. My podcast is Getting Work to Work. And over the past 2 years, I've really been challenged to think about why I work. Do I work to just, you know, validate my existence, or do I work to live? And I've met a lot of people who fuel their life with their work. In Company of One by Paul Jarvis, work is really about facilitating a better life. This idea of having enough, being enough, is so that you can live your life. And that can be a foreign concept for a lot of people, especially for driven creatives who just want to get to work. I mean, I'm just kind of flashing back to how I used to end that podcast, you know, now get out there and get to work. And it's just like, you know, over time it shifted to let this stuff fuel your life, because it's all about life. If you're not living, like in The Shawshank Redemption, you're dying. It's as simple as that. So as I think about this podcast episode, why do I create? You'll notice that there were some things missing, some things that I do, some things that I love. I love teaching. I love coaching. I love inspiring and motivating people. I love improving upon what I do. And all of these things, for me, are byproducts of the creative process. When I create, I teach. When I create, I'm able to coach. When I create, my goal is to inspire and motivate others to create their work. When I create, then I get feedback. And when I create, then and only then can I improve. Research and validation has a place in my creative process, but it's at the end. Doesn't mean that I'm wasting my time creating something that may not have value for other people, but I'm not one to sell my ideas out of the gate. I'm going to go through the process, wrestle with them, wonder what I think, learn what I know and don't know, Just start so that I can learn, build momentum, and ultimately live. So why do you create? I hope that your answers are different, but if there's one that is the same, I hope that you create so that you can start. So not just get out there and get to work, but get started so that you can live. Before we wrap up this episode of Getting Work to Work, I want to leave you with two questions. What big idea are you chasing? How are you bringing it to life? Reach out and let me know. I'd love to have you on the show to share all about it. I'm Chris at chrismartinstudios.com, or you can find me on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at CM Studios. I really do love hearing from people, so if you need someone to share your ideas with or just need some encouragement, don't hesitate to say hello. There are a lot of podcasts you could be listening to, and I'm grateful that you would spend valuable time listening to Getting Work to Work. Would you be willing to spread the word about the show with your friends, other creative entrepreneurs and leaders who want to get their work to work? You can send them to gwtw.co to access every episode, as well as find the links to stream the show on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, and more. You may have noticed in this podcast that I love talking about curiosity, but did you know I also like writing about it too? Each week I release my curiosity thoughts in the Curiosity Lab. You can sign up today at the bottom of the show notes page at gwtw.co/261. I also recently released an email series for creative entrepreneurs who may be struggling with burnout, conformity, and mediocrity called the Curiosity Killers. Head to curiositykillers.com to learn more about this resource and sign up for this fun and serious look at why curiosity matters. Until next time, may creativity and curiosity fuel your life.